Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I had wanted to continue reflecting upon the sacrament of matrimony and offering helpful thoughts for those that, to sanctify themselves in this calling. But I would like to postpone that for another 2 weeks. I won't be here next Sunday. I'll be on Mass Circuit. One of us priests goes to Tri-Cities in Redmond, Oregon, to serve those two small Mass locations that we have. And 2 Sundays from now, we'll have the Epistle on Charity, so I think it will be a suitable time to continue that. What I would like to reflect upon today, and connected, of course, with Septuagesima Sunday, the pre-Lenten season that we begin today, I would like to talk about the book of Leviticus. And I alluded to this on Candlemas Day, this past Thursday, because we find in the book of Leviticus the prescription, or the law, from God himself. This wasn't even Moses devising this. This was straight from God that 40 days after the birth of a baby boy, the mother was to undergo a ritual purification. This was not from any moral fault on her part, by no means. But there was an idea of purification there, and it would be 80 days in the case of a baby girl. And they would come to the temple and present the child and then offer the gifts as prescribed. And one thing we have certainly understood better as we've been studying the book of Leviticus is that it's a scary book. Scary because of the strictness that God put in his laws. And I remember somebody saying that she decided she would one day read the Bible and just by happenstance started with the book of Leviticus. And it kind of scared her off when she saw how strict God was, the severity that of his laws, the punishments that God decreed. And so it may not be the best place to start, but I want to explain it a little bit more to you. And I think in the last couple of classes, we've been able to make some wonderful connections with everything we've studied so far. As we know, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. And Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. And the connections we've been able to make is to see common threads, the unfolding of a magnificent story. And what we see God doing with his chosen people in the Old Testament, in a sense, God continues to do with his chosen people of the New Testament. That's you and me. And really, everyone is called to be the chosen people of the New Testament. You don't have to be Jewish. It's for everyone, Jew and Gentile. So the spiritual lessons here are very applicable to us. What do we see in Genesis? We see, of course, the beginning of the human race. We see that it had fallen into great, great sinning. And so God destroyed the human race in the great flood, except for the 8 people that would carry it on. And it was particularly the sins of the flesh that made God repent of having created his people, so to speak. God doesn't really repent, but to get across an idea that God was so displeased that he found it necessary to destroy everything and to start all over. And we see today, of course, through the sins of the flesh, the same kind of sinning, where marriage is completely torn down, the unity, the indissolubility of marriage. So God started again with Noah, his wife, his three sons, their daughters, or their wives. And then we see at the end of Genesis the emergence of the nation, the 12 tribes. And they were to go to Egypt. And then a bad chapter in history happens for the chosen people. They would undergo 400 years of slavery. And we read about that. It was prophesied, actually, in Genesis, and it happens. We read about it in Exodus, how these poor people were just crushed under their Egyptian rulers. And God was going to bring them out through a mighty leader by the name of Moses. So Genesis was about the emergence of this nation. Exodus is about God delivering this nation, drawing them out of pagan Egypt. But they weren't ready to go to the promised land. It's something so important to understand, and I'll explain that in a minute. They would have to go through 40 years of wandering. Not only that, God would try to sanctify them. And that's what the book of Leviticus is about. That's the main theme to understand. God was trying to make his people holy. It wasn't enough for him to take them out of Egypt. They were very raw and unfinished spiritually. They, even though they were in slavery in Egypt, they had imbibed much of pagan Egypt in their thinking, in their ways of acting. And so in order for them to be God's people, God had to change them. As our commentary put it beautifully, Exodus was about bringing the people out of Egypt, but Leviticus is about getting Egypt out of the people. They could never be God's people if they didn't get Egypt out of themselves. And because they had so much of Egypt in them, no wonder that at the very foot of Mount Sinai, when Moses is getting the Ten Commandments, the seal of the covenant, that down at the bottom of the mountain they're worshiping the golden calf because they were so filled with Egypt. They worshiped idols in Egypt. It was about pleasure, the pursuit of pleasure as a god in himself, sexual pleasure as a god in itself. You see, my dear brethren, why it wasn't enough for God just to bring his people out of Egypt. They may have thought, oh, we're released, we're free, free at last. But there was a lot of spiritual work that had to be done. Otherwise, they could not be his people. So how was God going to sanctify them? In two major ways, I believe. First of all, by all of the laws that he gave about cleanliness. Now, it's interesting that many of these laws dealt with physical things that, in a sense, had no moral overtone to it or not. For example, the laws about skin diseases, which were grouped under the general heading of leprosy. Now, of course, the incurable forms were the true disease of leprosy, for which there was no cure, really no treatment. But there were also minor diseases, minor disorders of the skin, eczema, for example, and if they had it, they were ritually unclean until they could be cleansed of it. The priest would have to, you know, certify whether it was cleared up or not. Remember when our Lord cured the 10 lepers, what did he do? He says, go show yourselves to the priests. It was right straight out of Leviticus, that law. And the purpose of all these physical laws and especially the spiritual laws was to get across to the people, you need to become holy. You can't be my people if you're not going to become holy. We read in today's epistle, of course, where St. Paul is linking this very much to this time. He says, our fathers were all under the cloud. I believe that's the cloud that where God showed his presence above the holy place. They passed through the sea. Remember how they went through the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his whole army were drowned. They were baptized in Moses. They ate the same spiritual food, manna in the desert. They had the same spiritual drink. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. There was so much complaining by his people in the desert. There was rebellion. So you see, the way God had to deal with his chosen people was to give them all these laws, to insist on their fulfillment, and yes, he did give severe punishments. For example, especially in the realm of matters dealing with purity. Because again, there was so much of Egypt in his people. It had to be gotten out. And also that 40 years of wandering was necessary before they could go in a fitting spiritual condition to the promised land. As we begin the pre-Lenten season today, my dear brethren, I think we're hearing this message that we cannot go to the promised land, so to speak, unless we also go through what God required of his people, which is a greater obedience to his law. You see, when in following all these laws that God laid down in Leviticus, the people were becoming holy. They were becoming less Egypt-like and more God-like. And we too need to recommit to God's commandments, to the commandments of the church, because this is how we are going to become pleasing to God, and there is no other way. We cannot be God's people if we do not purify ourselves of Egypt and hold faithfully to all of God's commandments, his laws, and also the commandments of the church. I see Lent as our annual 40-year, well, not 40-year, but 40-day trek through the desert. Remember, they could have gone just in a matter of a couple of months to the promised land, but no, it was necessary to go to 40 years of wandering because of all the spiritual lessons that would need to be learned and could only be learned through those 40 years of hard living in the desert. I think this is what Lent needs to be for us every year. Some harder living. Because otherwise, how will we be purified? How will we refresh ourselves with the spiritual lessons that we need to live? So let us look forward to the Holy Lenten season. In her wisdom, the church doesn't just have us go straight from a time of celebration to Lent. She gives us a season to be disposed. And by having a good observance, a faithful observance of Lent, we will truly be more God's chosen people. We will cleanse ourselves of those things that are displeasing to God, that are harmful to us spiritually, so that we can be again His people. We need to be purified. But it is so much better to be God's people than to be anything else. This is what we're called to be. So with a good heart, with good intentions, let us do some preparation and begin Lent in a way where, again, we can grow spiritually and be spiritually renewed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.